This leads us to the most necessary of all energy wave forms, which are, as we have explained, catalytic in nature and which have been rather loosely grouped by the materialist as faith. In the field of relative energy relationships, there is a certain principle, or law, which is constantly and normally functioning in every process of life, called psychokinesis. In a sense, it is quite similar to other principles which have been explained, but it means that any individual can, in the normal processes of thinking, actually attune such frequencies of the regenerative forces of the mind into frequencies which are compatible with some exterior or interior object or transmission of life. We can find many different classical examples of psychokinesis, whether they are involved in our own personal relationships with life, or whether they are concerned with acts which involve other people. There is no such thing as blind faith, for faith is always a subconscious or an inward knowing, a complete conviction that a certain something can and does exist. We could not possibly, at any moment, envision anything transpiring unless we knew it was completely possible and actually knew, to some extent, at least inwardly, the mechanics involved in such a happening. This, then, is faith, and whether the individual finds that his healing takes place in the simple act of believing in a fetish or a charm, a pill, or in some individual, makes little or no difference. It merely means that the individual has, through some seemingly subconscious process, connected up the transmissions of various energy wave forms into a continuity which is catalytic in action and thus can change the negative wave forms in the psychic structures. Conversely, the atomic structures will sooner or later follow through and the defect is thus cleared up in the physical body. And so, dear reader, it makes little or no difference what it is we do, or into what dimensions we can carry our introspection, we shall always find that the same principles, as have been explained, which relate to the transmission of energy wave forms in harmonic structures, catalytic actions and psychokinetic projections, all mean one and the same thing. These principles are inviolate, they apply not only in our own physical dimension as they are related to our physical life but are the basic and motivating forces which engender all of the processes of life, whether spiritual or material in nature. We shall never at any time find the ending or the cessation of these principles, for they are the energizing, the reactivating, rebuilding agencies and forces which are involved in that ever-expanding, contracting, constructive process we have related to the infinite mind which we call God. Time, therefore, is of little importance. We shall find that only in the material dimension does time become a separate property in the transmission of life about us. Basically, our main concern is in the primary purpose of evolution itself, in the creation of the spiritual ego to such proportions that it becomes a reciprocating element in the infinite mind and the creative force, not as a selfish and self-centered agency designed primarily from its own selfish instincts as they were garnered from energy wave forms in more primitive lifetimes, but into constructive evolutionary patterns of thought which are concerned in constructive processes in helping to completely regenerate the infinite cosmos in its normal functional activities. It is conceivable, in the normal process of life, that each individual is concerned with the age-old and primitive process of equilibrium between the so-called negative or evil forces and the positive polarities which are called good or the mystical forces. Inasmuch as this is an age-old problem involving the very beginnings of any one particular individual's life upon the planet Earth, or upon any other similar planet, the previous explanations may not have been quite adequate to completely fulfill or justify a corrective process and to instill a new philosophy of life in the individual's mind. As the struggle between good and evil is age-old, a person may be inclined to ask this direct question: what then becomes of those people who are incorrigibles or who are dominating figures in an evil or negative way? To look back into history, we can find classical examples of these various evil people as they have written certain bloody pages in the history of mankind, such men as the Genghis Khan, Hitler and other figures whose cloaks are dyed with the crimson blood of their fellow men. This does indeed pose a great problem in mental balances as they are concerned with the average individual and he may be confused in the processes of mind in establishing such an equilibrium in his thinking. he can eventually strike out the words good or evil and instead instill within this consciousness a much more realistic concept which concerns the positive and negative energy waveforms. Referring to this particular establishment of equilibrium, we must therefore revert into the physical world again for a starting place in this introspection. We can, for convenience sake, look directly into the human body itself. There we find that as far as the physical body is concerned, almost all of the processes which sustain life within that body, as they are concerned in a physical sense, are completely automatic in nature. This automation involves the respiratory system and various digestive processes which in a sense and to a large degree, perform entirely without consciousness on the part of the individual. Oxygen enters the lungs and causes a certain aeration of the bloodstream which is the fundamental functioning principle of the human body, and as far as that goes, of every particular living organism which can be said to have a similarly constructed body. The scientist might say food is burned in the body, but this so-called burning process is a misconception, just as are many of the different principles in scientific nomenclature. This means that we have a certain direct transmission of energy from one form to another. If we see a boy spinning a top upon the floor, we can find there a typical example of the transmission of energy from one form to another. The energy which is contained in his arm is transferred to the top and it thus gyrates in a spinning motion. This spinning motion is the same energy which was but a moment before contained in the boy's arm, in cell structures and in nerve impulses. This energy must, under common physical laws, again establish itself on a certain basic equilibrium, so far as it is diametrically opposed to the physical world. In other words, the top is now in direct conflict with at least two well-known physical laws, the principle of inertia, which means the mass of the top, as it is spinning, is in direct conflict with the rigid force or proportion of gravitational motion. There are also certain elements of friction with the molecules of air surrounding the top, as well as at the point of the top itself upon the floor, and this friction in turn absorbs a certain amount of energy which was formerly in the boy's arm, turning it into what is commonly called heat. Heat merely means that there are certain energy wave forms coming in contact with molecular structures, and in the force fields of molecules as they are compounded in compositions of atoms, the various energy wave forms in these molecular patterns are thus disturbed. The molecules can thus be said to be agitated, and in this agitation or maladjustment of their frequencies, they absorb the energy, which is heat. In the case of heat entering the human body, should this molecular maladjustment take place in such a manner and fashion that it is unable to immediately resume its normal state of equilibrium, then the person can be said to be burned upon that portion of his anatomy, as the atoms and the molecules as they were so constituted, are now not in their former normal relationship to the human body. The foregoing principles are the common basic equivalents to many of the misconstrued scientific concepts as they relate to the stemming of heat from the sun, for in all cases we do not find either heat or any of the other so-called classifications of energy formations, as they are used in the nomenclature of the scientists. They refer purely, in their esoterical values, to the diversified transmissions and readjustments in various frequency relationships within themselves. Energy stemming from the sun is not heat, but it comes in conjunction with the magnetic fields of the Earth, such as opposed by gravitational fields as well as kinetic forces which make the Earth, in effect, a very large and supercharged magnet. These energies coming from the sun are thus, through hysteresis, changed directly into such wave forms, and are altered in such manner and form that we can call them heat. This merely means that these various energy wave forms can now thus come in contact with atomic and molecular structures. In so doing, their normal pattern and their fields of force are disrupted to such an extent that they may become heated, either largely or to a very small degree, according to the amount of energy involved in this process. Resuming the normal course of our introspection and referring once again to the point in question, the development of an evil person as posed against the development of a good person, we must therefore understand these principles of absorption as they are concerned with the disruption of frequency patterns and relationships of various energy formations, For it is in this way that any person is developed in the superconsciousness, either as an evil or as a more positive and good person. A person can and often does develop in an evil way in the spiritual or superconsciousness, just as this same person could develop in a positive or good manner. This will account for the appearance of different external personifications of the superconsciousness as they are posed as evil or destructive forces. For a clearer understanding of this condition, we must therefore look into the spiritual worlds and picture for ourselves how life can and does exist for every individual when he loses his physical body. It should by now be firmly established in your mind that there is no such thing as a physical life after all, and that we are all basically, internally and in any other particular way you wish to picture, actually merely expressing the common dynamics of energy transmissions as they are expressed from an infinite number of planes of consciousness which form the aggregate in correct conjunctive attitudes with positive and negative interpolations with past life experiences. Therefore, the physical life merely means that we are only expressing a common polarity in a negative fashion with the more positively biased infinite cosmogony. Therefore, in the spiritual life, instead of the physical automation which has been previously described and loosely referred to as internal combustion in the human system, man will find it is, in some respects, quite similar to the life which he left in the physical world. As far as his psychic body is concerned, now that he is in the spiritual world, a creature of pure energy not living within the physical flesh, he therefore has a certain amount of spiritual aeration. Instead of the oxygen which he formerly contacted in his physical world and which made ingress into his body through his lungs, aerating his bloodstream and making it possible for combustion and metabolism to take place to sustain life, he now has the same condition taking place in the absorption of spiritual energies directly into his psychic body from an infinite number of planes in which he now finds himself to be living. This aeration takes place again on that common basic equivalent of frequency relationship. Therefore, any aeration in his psychic body must, as a natural consequence, take place in such planes of relationship which are compatible with the frequencies in his psychic body. Thus, if a person is good, this aeration will quite naturally take place in his psychic centers from planes which are constructive, or can be considered to be of a higher elevation and higher value than those being absorbed or being aerated into a person who is negatively biased and who relates this aeration process into his psychic body from such planes which are negatively biased, on which are destructively balanced against the progressive evolution of man, individually or collectively. This process of spiritual aeration with which he is concerned in his spiritual world thus makes life possible for him and furnishes, just as food and oxygen formerly did to the physical body, the basic constituents in his spiritual development in that spiritual world. Thus it is the evil person finds just as much food and oxygen. Or shall we say that we are using food and oxygen in a comparative term only, and an abundance of these negative energies to feed and nourish his psychic body as the positively biased or good person finds of the good and positive energies to aid and abet the constructive processes of his psychic body in a higher elevation. You may wonder, therefore, and reasonably analyze that the development of the evil person could assume staggering proportions. This person could eventually develop into a similar form of an evil avatar, just as is posed in the development of a good avatar, and this, too, is so. We will find in these spiritual worlds there are developments, in proportion of evil persons, to a degree which is quite comparable in force and power to those who have assumed a more constructive elevation in life. However, evil does, in its own intent and purpose, always eventually destroy itself. There is a basic reason why the development of an evil person reaches only a certain point, a point which can be considered, in modern psychological terminology, as the point of diminishing returns. In other words, in the development of this evil person as he is concerned with his superconsciousness itself, instead of becoming an outwardly expanding and constructively minded polarity with the infinite, it becomes increasingly condensed or concentrated within itself in its evil intent and its evil purpose. Therefore, as this development, or rather should we say, this degeneration, progresses, the superconsciousness will find itself increasingly compressed and thus, in this compression, lacks accessibility to the common and general spiritual aeration which is so necessary to support and to regenerate its own purpose in the spiritual worlds. This, in a sense of the word, means that the superconsciousness is slowly destroying itself by its own growth. This point is rather difficult for the average individual to visualize in his own mind, but it can be fully explained and justified when we have accepted the principles of relationship which involve life in the spiritual worlds. In other words, the normal progression and evolution of the higher or the super self does, and must always, involve an increasing number of various affiliations with what might be considered infinite planes of relationship, for it is the very nature of the superconsciousness to partake of the same infinite perspectives as the creative force which first started its evolutionary process. We can thus say that the evil person in the material worlds, in the common relationships and in the patterns of his different lifetimes, first formed a rather highly developed superconsciousness in a positive way. Up to a certain point, this evil person was formerly a very powerful and a very good person and could be compared either to an initiate or an adept, or perhaps even possibly a master in his own sense, before he began to deteriorate. In the spiritual worlds, in the development of his now negatively biased superconsciousness by the continual process of turning concept inwardly upon himself and in the revolution of the transmissions of his spiritual life as is concerned only with himself, he can thus be considered destructive. In this selfishness, he consequently compresses and degenerates his formerly developed superconsciousness into nothingness. Chapter 3. This particular concept cannot and should not be applied to the persons who are in our common existence and to whom we refer as evil. Such people have found the values of life only in such things as sex and various material attributes, and they commonly express all of the very negative elements of selfishness and self-centeredness which an evil person can be considered to be expressing. It must be remembered that these people are not, in any sense of the word, developed as either spiritually good or spiritually bad people. But whenever we find a person who has formerly developed a great spiritual personality in a good sense and this same person has then degenerated or switched the bias, so to speak, from the direction in which his superconsciousness has been developed, we shall find this person in dire straits and circumstances. We shall find also that this person is expressing outwardly into the physical world the sum and total of this great negation in some manner or form. We can thus find our Hitlers, our Genghis Khans, other kings, emperors and exponents of what we might call evil forces, as they have been expressed in the pages of history. Here again is posed another question which the student may ask. It has been said that the door to reformation is never closed to any individual, and that in the more crude or primitive translations, God is all-forgiving and, this is so. Should a person at any time in this degenerative process, as he is now an evil person, find he is thus slowly destroying what he had formerly built with great care in the many lifetimes and in finding this destructive process, he can turn about and change his direction of evolution, providing of course, that he meets all of the necessary requirements as they are contained in various conjunctions, energy transmissions, concepts and other particular cycles, which are most necessary for this change about condition. It must also be borne in mind that the evil person has multiplied infinitely the necessary amount of force which will be needed for him to change his direction. In other words, as an evil person, he has been traveling in an opposite direction through time and space at a tremendous rate of speed, so to speak. He can thus be compared to a man in a rocket ship who is approaching a planet and wishes to slow down the many thousands of miles an hour speed which he has attained through free space, so that he will not be burned up and destroyed by the impact with the planet which he is bent upon reaching. The amount of energy and force necessary to change the superconsciousness in its destructive flight and purpose is equally proportionate to the amount of energy which was involved in constructing this superconsciousness and projecting it in the wrong direction. It can therefore be easily conceived that this amount of energy must be tremendous and cannot be remanifested or regenerated in any one particular moment or even in one particular lifetime. This person is now concerned with an evolutionary pattern backwards, so to speak, to backtrack his former course of evolution, he is now posed or biased in a completely positive manner, the opposite to the former one which was biased in a negative direction. This, in a sense, means that for every overt or destructive act which he has performed in his own selfish intent and purpose, he must at least reconstruct an equally positive and diametrically opposed positive force against it in order for cancellation and catalysis to take place in this action. This process can therefore easily involve the various purgatories which have been the common belief of many people who have lived upon the planet Earth, such as were described in Dante's Inferno, and those which are preached from the pulpits of the various Christian churches. These purgatories are, quite naturally, the self-imposed conditions, as they are viewed introspectively by the individual in the spiritual worlds, as he is concerned with his own evolution. His remorse and self-recriminations are equally great and matched only by the sins and acts of his own consciousness. This will therefore resolve the individual's own particular philosophy of life into understanding the infinite and his own relationship to the infinite, as the infinite is, in itself as thus so described, infinite. It can be conceivable, within the individual's mind, as he is posed in the various biases which are contained in his psychic body and superconsciousness, that he views this infinity in direct ratio in the common terms of frequency relationships which he has thus so far developed. In other words, there is nothing in this infinite cosmogony which concerns any individual except that which he can conceive within the normal relationships and processes as they are contained in energy wave forms and patterns in the daily process and transmission of life. He will never, at any time, exceed the limits of the concepts of his own mind and, quite naturally, these concepts must be the direct result of development. In this process of development, man gradually expands the ability of his power of concept to include a much greater proportion of the infinite cosmogony. When an individual has thus fully expanded his consciousness to this degree, it is imperative then, that he must also conversely, have developed the necessary determinants and attributes wherein he, as an individual, can be selective in all the proportions in which he thus is able to conceive. In other words then, he must always relate whatever proportions of infinity he conceives within himself as constructive proportions and which are so positively biased in his own relationship of life. Should he ever, in his process of conception and lack of knowledge of this principle, inadvertently conceive and relate himself to these conceptions with infinity, in negative waveforms, or patterns of relationship, he is thus automatically beginning his own destruction and precipitating himself in the opposite direction into the negative worlds. This has always been the common point of departure for those who have instituted themselves as evil forces, not only in the material world but in those various astral and subastral worlds in which they function. Through the processes of life and in the determinant qualities of introspection as they concern infinity and in their expanded and conscious state, these individuals were either not fully cognizant of, or lacked the necessary knowledge to determine these various relationships of infinity with their own inward concepts and relationships to infinity in a positive manner. Thus, they incurred that gradual change about process which precipitated them into the negative direction. Another factor which abets this trend is the seeming lack of knowledge, or perhaps merely a lassitude, which could quite naturally be incurred by the individual's own false sense of proportion and power which he had assumed in his development of the superconsciousness. For a person developing to the point where he could be considered an adept or an avatar, could quite easily be swayed, inadvertently or otherwise, with the powers of his own superconsciousness. This was the problem which confronted Jesus in the Holy Land and is so graphically depicted in his temptation by the devil on the mount, which is only a parable in nature but illustrates the struggle which is often incurred by those who are developed in their superconsciousness. For always this person is tempted within himself to use the power which he has developed, for his own personal gain and for his own personal development. This, as has been postulated, begins that compressive and destructive process which will eventually destroy the superconsciousness of the individual, if it is continued in as great a proportion to that which was formerly incurred in its development. Relationships are basically all the same, and the equivalents can always be multiplied in the common terms of mathematical formulas. In other words, 2 times 2 is 4. If we incur a negative force of a certain proportion and intensity and involve a certain determined amount of energy, it is quite natural to suppose it is going to take an equal amount of positive force to cancel out and neutralize this negative force, plus an added quantity of bias which would perpetuate and sustain this positive force after it has performed its operation. Therefore, dear reader, in your new philosophy of life, you can always commonly resolve the infinite cosmos and your relationship to it, in regard to just how you can conceive this infinity and just how much of this infinity you can relate to your own particular transmission of life. In this conception, always be positively biased, for if a positive bias is not maintained, negative bias is always the penalty to pay, and negative bias means eventual destruction. As to those who have been helped or healed by some seemingly miraculous force which has been called spiritual healing or divine intercession, the principles here are just the same. At the particular moment of healing, the individual has, to some small degree, learned of a certain positive bias, so far as the proportions of energy formations are posed in his psychic body, in their relationship to the infinite. In this positively biased condition, the infinite, positive, regenerative and rebuilding power can completely reconstitute the psychic body in whatever particular malformations of negative energy with which it is so concerned. But as has been previously explained, there must also be a direct conjunction with the different functioning principles as they concern these various energy waveforms and polarity patterns which are involved in this healing process. The average individual, in his progression of life, must destroy these old fallacious concepts, such as divine intercession and the belief that he can be saved from his sins and iniquities by some master or avatar. This is the greatest of all hypocrisies which man perpetuates not only against himself, but in teaching it to his fellow man. The adherents to this hypocrisy are always doomed to disappointment and eventual destruction should they continue their unrealistic attitude toward the infinite creative force which we call God. It is the purpose of this great infinite creative force to constantly perpetuate itself, recreate itself and regenerate itself in an infinite number of forms and transmissions of numerous and varied energy wave forms, whether they are of an atomic nature or whether they resolve themselves into such infinite abstractions which may be concerned with higher spiritual worlds. There is no difference, it means infinity. The Creator is living, breathing and regenerating in all of these infinite configurations. The individual whose basic problem is as he is constructed, either large or small, whether atomically as in his physical body, or into the various wave forms of the psychic body, he is a part of this infinite, and as such, if he wishes to live in infinity, he must thus become an active, participating element in this infinite process. The only reasonable and logical conclusion is that in order to be able to thus become a functioning element with this infinity, he obviously must know something about it. He must not only know something about it, but he must activate it to a much higher degree and relationship than he is now doing, and this, in itself, is the common pattern of evolution through which everyone passes in that metamorphosis which involves changing a material person into a spiritual being. The material person has only begun the process of aggregation, as it concerns energy waveforms in various transmissions and purposes of life. These aggregates of energy waveforms go to make up the matrix of the negative or material ego. Thus, through evolution, in the long process of many thousands of lives and many millions of years, just as the little caterpillar undergoes the metamorphosis into a brilliantly colored butterfly, so does man, in his spiritual evolution, gradually travel into the infinite cosmos to become a great infinite reciprocating polarity with this infinite mind. Be patient, therefore. The problems of today as they concern your own relationship to this infinite, whether they are in measures of healing as opposed against physical problems, mental or material derelictions in your daily lives, mean only one thing: they are a challenge to your own personal integrity, to your strength of character as to how much you can work out in the process of daily life to offset and to correct these conditions. This is the waiting process of metamorphosis, which will eventually change you from your caterpillar-like life on the earth into that radiant, brilliantly hued spiritual person, the Davidi who will live in the future worlds.